Speaking on this program is Brother Ken Willis.
About 600 years before the birth of Christ, the Old Testament prophet Daniel was called upon to reveal and to interpret an important but forgotten dream by Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon. When he stood in the king's presence, Daniel answered before the king and said, quote, "The secret which the king hath demanded can neither wise men, enchanters, magicians, or soothsayers show unto the king. But there is a God in heaven that revealeth secrets, and he hath made known to the king Nebuchadnezzar what shall be in the latter days. Thy dream and the vision of thy head upon thy bed are these." Unquote. Well, after the telling the king that he had dreamed of a great image, Daniel continued, and I'm reading from Daniel chapter 2, 32 through 34. "As for this image, its head was of fine gold, its breast and its arms of silver, its belly and its thighs of brass, its legs of iron, its feet part of iron and part of clay. Thou sawest till that a stone was cut out without hands, which smote the image upon its feet that were of iron and clay, and brake them in pieces." Well, after having revealed the forgotten dream to the king, Daniel went on to interpret the dream. He said the head of gold represented Nebuchadnezzar's Babylonian worldwide empire. The silver presented another universal empire, which would follow that of the Babylonians. Still a third universal empire was represented by the brass. And finally, a fourth all-encompassing empire was represented by the iron, with the added feature that the iron would be mixed with clay. And from our vantage point, looking backward, we know that this prophecy was literally fulfilled. The Babylonian Empire gave way to the Persian Empire, which in turn gave way to the Greek Empire. Finally, there came the Roman Empire, which was the last of the worldwide kingdoms. And we also remember that the Roman Empire was divided into 10 provinces, and that while the empire was ruled with a rod of iron, the provinces constantly posed problems to the various Caesars. Well, we said all of this in order to read the culmination of this prophecy, and we have these words in Daniel 2, verse 44. "And in the days of those kings shall the God of heaven set up a kingdom which shall never be destroyed, nor shall the sovereignty thereof be left to another people, but it shall break in pieces and consume all these kingdoms, and it shall stand forever." This was a prophecy that in the days of the fourth kingdom, the Roman Empire, God was going to establish his own kingdom. It would be a unique kingdom, a stone cut out of the mountains without hands. And we're noticing some things about the kingdom of God. And it's interesting to read the New Testament going from this prophecy in the Old Testament to the New Testament, giving special attention to the manner in which God established his kingdom, his church. We find in Matthew 3, verse 1, a brief account of the preaching of John the Baptizer, the forerunner of Jesus. And we read, "And in those days cometh John the Baptist, preaching in the wilderness of Judea, saying, Repent ye, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." So John announced that the kingdom was near. Multitudes from Jerusalem and Judea and the regions round about the Jordan had gone out to hear the preaching of John. And then just a little later, Jesus began his public ministry, and through his teaching, he began to lay a foundation of understanding for the establishment of his kingdom. And while he set forth principles relating to the kingdom on many occasions, no occasion was more fully dedicated to that end than that described in the 13th chapter of Matthew. It's here that we read of his teaching in parables. Those simple stories of those earthly stories with heavenly meaning, and out of the experiences of his hearers, he gave a deeper spiritual meaning to those lessons. Well, the first of these parables began, Matthew 13:3. "Behold, the sower went forth to sow." Now, Jesus then described how the seed fell upon the wayside soil, where it was immediately snatched away by the birds. Some seed fell upon the rocky ground where it immediately sprang up, but it soon withered away because it had no depth of root. And then some seed fell on the thorny ground where it was choked by the thorns, but some seed fell upon the good ground where it brought forth 30-fold, 60-fold, or 100-fold. When the disciples were alone with the Lord, they inquired about what was the meaning of this parable. And Jesus responded, Matthew 13:19, we read, "When anyone heareth the word of the kingdom," well, he then indicated that the gospel would be preached. It would fall upon the ears of wayside hearers, rocky ground type hearers, thorny ground type hearers, but there would be those who would be like the good ground, who would receive the word, respond to that word, and bring forth a harvest. And Jesus began another of his stories in Matthew 13. "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that sowed good seed in his field. But while men slept, his enemy came and sowed tares also among the wheat." That's Matthew 13, verse 24 and 25. Now, the lesson of this parable was simply that in the kingdom, the good would live with the bad until the judgment, at which time a great separation would take place. And still another facet of the kingdom was revealed when Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto a grain of mustard seed," Matthew 13:31. The teaching here was that it would begin small as a tiny mustard seed, but that it would grow until it became a large tree that even the birds could rest in it. And again, "The kingdom of heaven is like unto leaven, which a woman took and hid in 3 measures of meal until it was all leavened," Matthew 12:33. Here he's saying the influence of his kingdom would spread throughout the earth as leaven spreads throughout dough. Yet again, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a treasure hidden in a field," Matthew 13:44. "The man who found the treasure sold all that he had. Then he bought the field that possessed the treasure." And again, Jesus said, "The kingdom of heaven is likened to a man that is a merchant man seeking goodly pearls." That's in verse 45 of Matthew 13. "This man, who's a dealer in pearls, found one pearl of great price. And he prized that pearl so much that he sold all that he had and bought the pearl that was valuable." Well, this shows the supreme value of Christ's kingdom. And then finally in Matthew 13, Jesus told of a net that was cast into the sea and gathered of every kind. Verse 47. "When the net was drawn in, the inedible and the useless fish were cast away, while those that were of some value were kept." Well, at the judgment, the good will be kept while the evil will be cast away. All of these simple stories reveal various facets of the kingdom which Jesus was about to establish on earth. And together, they help to explain the unique nature of his spiritual kingdom. In Matthew 16, verse 15, 16, 18, we have the climax of the unusually significant conversation between Jesus and his disciples. Jesus had said to them, "But who say ye that I am?" Simon Peter answered and said, "Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus pronounced a blessing upon him by saying, "I say also unto thee that thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church." Upon the bedrock fact of the divinity of Christ, not upon Peter the man, but upon the fact that he was the Christ, he was the Son of God, he said, "I will build my church, and the gates of Hades shall not prevail against it." So the kingdom, or the church, is going to soon be established. But at this point, it is yet future. It has not been established yet. A little later, Jesus was crucified. He was raised from the dead the third day. And shortly thereafter, he ascended back into heaven. But he told his disciples, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and rise again from the dead the third day, and that repentance and remission of sins should be preached in his name unto all the nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. And behold, I send forth a promise of my Father upon you, but tarry ye in the city until you be clothed with power from on high." Luke 24, verse 46 through 49. Some 10 days later, the Holy Spirit descended upon the apostles. They miraculously preached to the assembled multitude in the city of Jerusalem. On this occasion, Peter preached the first full gospel sermon, a sermon that emphasized the preeminence of Christ. As he neared the conclusion of his sermon, Peter said, "Let all the house of Israel therefore know assuredly that God hath made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom ye have crucified." And the Bible tells us that when they heard this, they were pricked in their hearts. They said unto Peter and the rest of the apostles, "Men and brethren, what shall we do?" In Acts 2, verse 38, Peter gave the answer. He said, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." And then a few verses later, we read, "Then they that received his word were baptized, and the same day there were added unto them about 3,000 souls." And Acts 2 concludes with verse 47, "And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved."